All right. Good afternoon, everybody. How you doing? Hey, I'm Ann Eller. I'm here with Toby Chapel this afternoon. He, of course, is the Greenwood County manager. He manages all the things going on here, and he's all mine for an hour, folks. As he was looking when he came in and he saw the newspaper articles I had out here and whatnot, he goes, "I don't know if I should have done this afternoon."
Yeah, I think I may have a hair appointment, Ann.
Hair appointment? Yeah, Toby, right. For those of you that see the video or know Toby, there's not a lot to cut there. So how is the state of the county?
I think it's great, Ann. It's very good. Chairman and the mayor did the State of the City County address a few weeks ago, and I think the chairman got it right. He said, we're in a good place, but we're still progressing, and we're still getting better. So I think my assessment would be just about right there.
Just about right there. Well, it's interesting because the one thing that has been in the news quite a bit is about the paying of the compensation for county employees, and right. I get a little confused between are we underpaid, could they be overpaid, and this study that you all paid for.
Sure.
What is the deal?
Which part would you like for me to take on that, Ann? Because we could probably spend an hour talking about that.
Well, I don't want to spend an hour.
Yeah,
but
I think we could. I think the best way I can describe it is we have some employees that are underpaid, you know, and I think they are in.
Are those ones that have been here particularly long time? Would that be, or were they?
I think there's probably some of both. I think they're more concentrated. You know, EMS department would be one, mm-hmm. you know, where I'm not sure that our EMTs and our paramedics are really at where they should be. You know, when you look at some of their peer counties, I think there's some opportunity there. So I think
across the board, does everybody need a raise?
No, I wouldn't say everybody needs a raise. You know, and I don't think that's what the study says.
Okay.
The study has said that there are places where we need to increase our compensation, and I think in the reporting of it, I think we may be starting to miss the real point of this, which is we need to compensate our employees at a level so that we can A, recruit good employees and retain the good ones that we have. So I don't want the citizens to lose the focus of that, because that's still our focus. You know, what is being hashed out is what exactly does that look like?
Well, and there were some questions about the study, too, got the information or way it was put out. There was seemed to be some discrepancies. In fact, they were talking about that our employees could be the highest paid in the county, in the state. Yeah,
I think early on there was one crystal clear example, and it was in EMS, and it would take me a while to explain it to you, but the gist of it is EMS employees work, as you're aware, 24 hours a day. There's always someone working, and many of them work 10-hour shifts, some work 12 hours, and some work 24 hours. So the problem would be to compare them to a normal employee, you know, an administrative assistant, you know, an engineer, to compare them to a 40-hour-a-week employee. You got to do the conversion correctly, and the conversion didn't get done correctly, and that's really where the problem was.
Okay. But are there any particular departments that have been left behind or something, or is it in every department that you could have an employee or two that is not up to snuff?
I think you could have some in all. Mm-hmm. I think, but particularly concentrated, I think you're going to see it in Public Works, EMS is really two of the bigger ones.
And why did we do this study to begin with?
To make sure that we are paying our employees at the rate we should. You know,
that was a pretty expensive study, though, wasn't it?
It was.
I think we could have just looked at it and said, let's give everybody a raise with this amount of money that we spent.
Yeah, but the problem you have with doing that is mm-hmm. the people that are currently paid where they should be. Mm-hmm. If you just go across the board, you haven't closed the gap. You know,
right.
If you have a group that are underpaid and a group that are paid correctly, you haven't closed the gap. You've just exacerbated the gap and kept them equally
far apart.
Mm-hmm. So what you'd rather do instead of doing that is keep the ones that are paid correctly paid correctly and move the ones that are underpaid to the other pot.
Right. Sure.
So that's the strategy behind it. And like I said, the focus still remains that we have some employees that we need to get correct and some positions that we need to correct. And I think that's what we're going to end up doing in the end. You know, right now we're in the process.
Kind of looks like a morass. He's speechless, folks. But, you know, it just, it does, in fact, what was the headline the other day that y'all had put it aside for this time to talk about compensation? You're going to bring it up at another point?
Yeah. Well, yeah, I don't, my impression is that this thing is not going away. I think the question, I think at this point we're still in the process.
So county council members are studying the report and trying to make sense of what some of it says?
I think we're all still trying to figure out the best way of getting to the same place. And I think we all agree. Like I said, there are some positions that we need to address. You know, is it better kind of the way you said, let's just go across the board and give everybody 2%. Does that solve the problem? Well, maybe it doesn't. Is it better to target certain positions? Is it better to... You know,
how do you explain to the person that's been well paid or is where they should be and the person that's been underpaid? How do you explain that?
Which part?
Well, both. To the person that says, well, you just gave so-and-so a raise and we didn't get a raise. And, well, you're paid on par and they weren't paid on par. How do you?
I think the way you just describe it.
Okay.
You know, because, I mean, I've talked to some employees and they've said, well, okay, if they implement this strategy, I'm not going to get a raise for a few years. And I said, that's exactly right. You know, what we're trying to do here is not make sure everybody gets a raise. What we're trying to do here, remember, our ultimate goal is to get the underpaid employees to where they should be. Mm-hmm. And that's the goal.
How many employees have you identified that may be in this underpaid group?
I think to move, and that's going to get back into the process.
Right.
So if you took the report right now as it is, mm-hmm. on its face value, I think the numbers... 75 or so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. How many employees work for the county?
There's 400, give or take, full-time employees, and there's about another 120 part-time.
Part-time. Okay.
But the part-time's not going to be addressed. This is just full-time.
Full-time. Okay. And do you have any idea when you will resolve it, do you think? Will it be this year? I mean, we're in August. We're in September now.
I would think we would by the end of the year.
By the end of the year? Yeah. So going forward. Now, the next question, of course, is you paid off all our debts. We're debt-free at this moment.
Yeah.
Do you have the dollars to be able to do this?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because that would be the next question.
Yeah, and we already anticipated that question. And Treasurer and I have worked very hard, and Sharon Setzer, our treasurer, has done a great job laying out a plan through, I think it's 2023. Mm-hmm. And it would... At worst case, assuming that the tax base didn't just naturally grow enough to do this, there would be a $1 million increase over the next 8 years to do this.
Hmm.
So I think the funding is pretty sound. I feel pretty good about the funding and the rationale and the logic behind it. You know, we just got to get to there.
Hmm. Okay. All right. Well, we're here with Toby Chappell. If you'd like to give us a call and have a question for Toby, it's fair game. It's fair game Thursdays
fair
here.
Game Thursday.
That's right. Give us a call, 229-7984. That's 229-7984.
Gold. Gold. More precious than any other time in history. Do you have gold? Do you need cash? Then bring it to SFG. That's Sharp Facets Gallery, 1220 Bypass 72, Greenwood. Telephone 229-6613. Don't forget, we buy diamonds too. Paying the highest prices for your gold and diamonds at Sharp Facets Gallery.
Oh, that's right. If you've got a question, it's Fair Game Thursday, 229-7984. I've got Toby Chappell. He's captive here, folks, I think. And Toby, we are talking about some of the things going on in the county and, you know, of course, another big topic, I think, having a group put together to look at the eventual outcome of the Civic Center. And, of course, the decision has been made for it to come down. Where are we at as far as the Civic Center coming down?
Where we are is as you just said, that the chairman of county council put together a committee in the spring to bring back a report of what would be potential uses, you know, adaptive or otherwise, mm-hmm. of the Civic Center. And the committee came back and said, we just don't see it as a viable project. So with that said, county council voted, I want to say in July, I had to go look, but I think it was in July, to take the Civic Center down. and our special projects coordinator, Rossi, is working on the specifications right now. I'm hoping in the next few weeks we'll have them completed and have them released to contractors to do the actual demolition.
Will there be an explosion? Will they do, where we can all gather and, see it implode upon itself?
Well, the kid in me would, love to see an explosion. But the county manager in me is a little worried about, the liability of it. So I think we may not use explosives.
Okay. All right. It'll be a sad day, though. It'll be a sad day.
Of course it will. Of course it will. And I know during the vote, several county council members expressed that, that they don't do this. They don't take this vote lightly. They don't have any joy in their heart in having to take it. But they did feel like, all things considered, all information known, that was the correct decision.
So, and of course, they'll put bids in. There'll be a cost associated with taking this down, I presume. Contractors will bid on it.
We're hoping that with the amount of metal in that building, that should help mitigate some of the cost. So, yes, there will be a cost. We're hoping that the recycling of some of that metal and the scrapping of some of that metal will help defray some of that cost.
Absolutely. So what's the plan after it comes down?
Well, I think there's several ways we could go from here. I think the immediate plan is let's get it down and then let's resurvey, where we go from here. I think over the next several years you could see lots of things. It could be just as it is now, and once it comes down, be just like that. I think you could see an investment towards making that more of a park atmosphere, with benches and things. I think you could see it folded into a redevelopment of the entire athletic complex at the Civic Center. So I think there's lots of different ways it could go from here.
Okay. So, and then, of course, behind that, we have the Humane Society there, the animal shelter.
You do.
What is, now I understand that we are looking at pieces of place to build, and there's been a grant that has been put aside to be able to build a new one. Or money has been put aside. From the county.
I thought maybe you knew something I didn't. I'm sure you know lots of things I don't, but I was hoping you didn't know anything about the county
I didn't know.
But not grant, but yes. As part of the 2010 general obligation bond, there was $500,000 put aside to go towards the construction of a new animal shelter.
Will that build one?
No.
Of course not.
I don't think it will.
Yeah.
But you're right to the point of, yes, there's been a committee put together. It's 8 members, 4 members from the Humane Society, 4 members from the county. And their task has been bring back to county council a finished product that's ready to go to bid. And that's site selection and evaluation. That's architect selection and design. I mean, it's the whole gamut. What they wanted is a finished product, come back to us ready to go to bid. So that's what the committee's been tasked with, and that's what we're working on.
Well, I understand you're on the committee.
I am, in fact.
Okay, I knew that. Okay, so out of this, how close is this to be presented to council?
I would say we're probably still 60 days away.
So before the end of the year.
I think it will be.
Before the end of the year.
I think it will be. Should be. Yeah. I'd hate to say for sure, but I think it'd be close.
Yeah. And now some of the things that I have heard through the grapevine is that there are several pieces of property that are being looked at, and they have to make a final decision on the piece of property that they like the best.
Yeah, that's kind of what the committee's thinking is. It'd be difficult to bring an architect in and say, design an animal shelter on one of 8 pieces of property. That would...
Right.
Seem to be a little counterintuitive. I think it's much more logical, select a piece of property and maybe have your architect say, yes, that kind of makes sense.
How much property do they need for this?
I think it depends upon what all they want to incorporate. Are they going to incorporate some kind of park for the dogs or exercise, acreage? I would say now they're probably on about 2 acres, maybe.
2 acres?
Give or take. So I think anywhere from probably 2 to 10 is probably about right.
And will it have just, will it have the, are you looking at having adoption and a spay neuter and all this type of thing? So similar to what we have over there, although parts of it have been closed down and this type of thing.
And I think, you know, you have a room that does this and a room that does that, and maybe you have to go to another little building now to do something else. Right. So I think you'll see a lot of those same things all under one roof. I think it'll be more aesthetically pleasing. I think it'll be just a better all-around operation from being in a better place.
Now, when that happens, what happens to the buildings and that back there, since that's a part of, I would say, the Civic Center area, wouldn't it? Yeah.
And I think that's going to become kind of like the Civic Center question you just asked me. I think it could become lots of things. You know, it could just get demolished and flattened and left like that, or again, it could get incorporated into revitalization of that entire property. I think it could go a lot of different directions.
Okay. So even though he's on the committee, folks, he's not giving up much. Let's let's say that right now.
My fellow committee members would be they would be pleased that I don't give up too much.
Well, but I also understand that some of the pieces of property that they're looking at are pieces of property that the county has. Aren't they?
County owns some property in the county, yes.
County owns some property in the county, yes. Okay. All right. So maybe there will be a deal that will be worked out when it comes to the property of it.
I think it will be. You know, again, the committee's looked at several pieces. You know, we have a preferred site. We feel confident that that will meet our needs. You know, the problem you have with the county is if we ever have to go buy land, if people realize it's the county, the cost just exponentially goes up.
Sure.
So that's why, you know, we're not trying to be coy. We would just rather not say where we think it, the preferred site is, because we end up having to go somewhere else and buy property.
Okay.
Yeah, it's going to cost the taxpayers more money in the long run.
Absolutely.
So we'd rather not go down that road.
Now, also, I think one of the other things, doesn't it have to do with how it's run? Right now, the Humane Society runs it, but it is the county's animal shelter. Correct.
Right. Okay. We own the facilities that we, the county, own the property, own the buildings. We own the structure, but they do the operations.
And you plan to continue in that same relationship?
I think that model has served us well for a number of years. I haven't heard anyone advocate for changing the model. You know, I think right now the model appears to be working.
Okay. All right, so now we've covered the Humane Society, we've covered the Civic Center, we've talked a little bit about the pay here in Greenwood for our county employees. And then what happened on the asbestos? Did that get taken care of?
Done. Rossi Corwin, our special projects, took on that one and did it on nights and weekends when the building was vacant.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So no one really saw a lot of the things that were
right.
going on. And she took care of it. It's done, 100% complete.
Well, you know, that's how much did that cost?
A little over $400,000.
Mm-hmm. Wow. And the whole place had
It wasn't everywhere.
Okay.
And that was part of the frustration. You know, if you have, you know, kind of like in your office, you know, if this row is and that row's not, and this row is, and then skip over two more and there's some, you know, it just gets... It gets maddening at some point.
Hard to identify and then take care of it.
Exactly. So yeah, it's done, taken care of. Very glad to have it behind us. Rossi did a great job.
All right. Hey, I tell you what, it is time for South Carolina News. And I want you to give us a call if you have a question for Toby, 229-7984. That's 229-7984. Now see what trouble we can get into after the break.
McDonald's presents Confessions of an Ex-Hipster.
I loved cappuccinos, so I put on an itchy turtleneck and grew a goatee. But before I knew it, I was into French films, indie rock, and not bathing. Luckily, I got help from McDonald's McCafe cappuccinos. Now I'm watching football, wearing khakis, even high-fiving again. Thank you, McDonald's.
New McCafe mochas, lattes, and cappuccinos from McDonald's. With fresh ground espresso and real steamed milk, it's all the coffee, hold the attitude. At participating McDonald's.
Visit your local McDonald's in Greenwood and Abbeville today.
Oh, that's right. We're right back here, Sharp Facets Gallery, this afternoon. My very special guest, Toby Chappell. He is the county manager for Greenwood County. We've been talking about some things off the air, and now we're going to bring them up on the air. And, you know, yesterday Harry Gantz was here with American Winter.
Yeah.
And, of course, the issue of poverty and, you know, we don't like to think that it's in our own backyard, but we know when we talk to the different agencies, whether it's United Way, the Salvation Army, that we have people that, number one, have never been unemployed in their life and never have been able to ask for aid that are now needing aid. And my question to you is, how is the county progressing in finding more jobs, bringing more businesses? I realize that's the economic development, Heather, mm-hmm. but how do you feel things are progressing for those that are in dire need?
I think it's progressing, you know, and I believe that the more jobs we can bring in, the more opportunity for people to have jobs. I think that's all positive. I think there's some issue on just a pure skill set education level. That's got to be a component in this. Mm-hmm. You know, if we were to get 1,000 jobs at the genetics center and they're, you know, genetics,
right,
you know, level scientists,
level jobs, yes.
You know, that's not going to help a lot of this group that you're talking about. So we got to be careful and specific on the businesses that we target, that we don't kind of outsmart ourselves. You know, we don't recruit only high tech, high skill, that we also make sure that we have some businesses that are less skilled that can help get into that population that are the lower educated, lower skill.
Sure.
So we have to be smart. I think that's the answer.
Well, do we have any of those type of businesses on the horizon?
We do, as a matter of fact. And
we do.
I won't talk in great detail, but...
Well, what's the name of this project? Yeah. Mark Warner, the spin doctor.
Yeah. I think if we land it and it's announced in the next several months, I think when you see it, you'll go, yeah, okay, that's what he's talking about.
Okay. All right. So there are some possibilities. Of course, one of the other problems that you said, well, it's a better problem to have than to have empty buildings, is the fact that we are mm-hmm. out of buildings. They have been pretty much all leased, sold, or whatever.
Yeah. As I said off there, I'll say on there, I think if you got to have a problem, you'd rather have the problem we're having than the problem that some places are having where they built shell buildings or built multiple shell buildings and they can't fill them. So, you know, they're both problems, but one's a little better than the other. But it's a problem nonetheless. So I think we're going to need to put our heads together on, you know, what does it look like to build a shell building? Is it public dollars? Is it private dollars? Is it public-private partnerships? You know, what does that look like? And I know there's discussions that are starting down that path, and I think we're going to need to have them.
So we have future business. Of course, we have Colgate that will be coming. Mm-hmm. Publix opens Saturday.
Yeah, I heard people are camping out.
Camping out?
Wow.
Okay. And, of course, along with that, Waffle House is opening up on the same day. This, I tell you what, I'm sorry, I am not going to be on that end of the bypass. I'll be on the civilized end down at this end. It is going to be wild.
It's going to be wild. Sounds that way. Yeah. Sounds that way. Publix and Waffle House all at one time.
50-cent waffles at Waffle House from 10 to 2 if you dine in. I want to know how you're going to get to dine in for a 50-cent waffle. You know?
I wonder if eating in the parking lot qualifies as dine-in. Go ahead and get the rules. Get some rules official to help us on that one.
But you can also, I'm just going to throw this out here just because I think it's fascinating. They're also going to be drawing names. I don't know whether it's one or two people that will eat at Waffle House for a year free.
Wow.
That's pretty awesome. I may have to sneak around the backside from the Y and back around there to go to Waffle House.
Figure out how to put my name in the hat for that, you know.
Exactly.
Start eating all my meals at Waffle House.
Exactly. So, anyways, that's some of the things that are happening. And, of course, then we've got all the stores right there that, do you know, have they all been leased? Or I know,
My understanding is they have not all been leased.
That's what I thought. But I thought maybe you might have some better information than me. Damn.
I doubt it, Ann. I think your information is pretty spot on.
Okay, all right. Okay, but another topic that I really want to talk about is the airport.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, you got a grant for upgrades.
We do.
And this is going to be a big undertaking.
Yes.
When it's finished, what will be the effect of it?
Okay, what will be the effect of it is we will have two operable runways.
Okay.
Right now we have one, and I don't know what the numbers are. I'm just going to tell you, there's whatever the numbers are. There's a larger runway that's open now, and there's a smaller runway that's that's currently closed.
Sure.
What you're going to see beginning now is the work on the smaller runway to get it reopened. They would then close the bigger runway and then rehab that runway. And then when that's done, open them both up. So.
Now, what will this do as far as the type of aircraft that can come in here? What would be the why are we doing this?
Well, you have to, just like the roads, you know, you have to continually rehab runways, and that's what the biggest part of this is. I don't think
it's not extending it.
It's just we're going to go and redo the runway in a rehab context. So the point is to continually maintain this so that we don't have a situation that the state is facing where you just have so much to do that you just can't afford it. So being proactive at the airport to keep the runway.
Now, you got a huge grant to do this. How much was the grant for this?
Grant was $2.8 million.
Okay.
So of the full project, Greenwood residents are going to pay about $150,000. $2.8 million is going to come from the Federal Aviation Commission, and $150,000 will come from the State Aeronautics Commission, I believe is what they're called. So,
and how did that grant get put together?
Rossi Corwin again put it together. Director of Airports put it together and worked it and shepherded it through the process and landed a $2.8 million grant, which is, from what I've been told, the largest grant in the county history. So it's very impressive. Good times.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, one of the things that I found, you know, Bo Bowman.
Mm-hmm.
And,
know,
of course, Bo did a history of the Greenwood Airport. And one of the things when we were having our 73rd celebration, you know, the radio went on the air September 1st, 1941.
Mm-hmm.
They actually got a 24-hour license because they were using it to add the lights from the tower for the bombers and everything for their practice and this type
wow.
of thing. So
that's impressive.
It is impressive.
That is
so
impressive.
Most of the radio stations in South Carolina that were AM stations were at dusk. You know, they went off the air.
Right.
So WCRS was a 24/7 station.
Yeah. There you go.
Yeah. So
very interesting.
Interesting how it all ties
it does.
Together.
It is very interesting.
Absolutely. Well, let's hear a word from our sponsors, and when we come back, we're going to talk more with Toby Chappell right here on WCRS.
Layaway. We've done it for over 30 years here at Sharp Facets Gallery. So whether it's Christmas, a birthday, an anniversary, or just because, we know layaway every day. Come see us today at Sharp Facets Gallery. Need more info? Call us, 229-6613. That's 229-6613.
Something issue or something that I'm not aware of here.
You got it. You got it. I expected you to tell me something.
Oh, that's right. You know, when the county manager is trying to ask me questions about what's going on, you know, I kind of... I've got my sources, you're right. But anyways, Toby, you know, we've talked a little bit about the airport. That's going to be... Now, what is the time frame on the airport?
They are starting the rehab to the currently closed runway already.
Mm-hmm.
So I believe October 22nd is when they're scheduled to transition to the bigger runway.
And so by putting this in better shape, we're not looking at any other... bigger planes being able to come in or anything like that. That's not what this is about. It's just keeping the airport in good shape.
Yeah, exactly. You know, it's just an issue like the state DOT. You know, you have to continually maintain your roads. And
we could get into the road situation. It's not good here in Greenwood City or Greenwood County.
No, I was just using it as an analogy. just saying that, you know, if you defer maintenance too long, you know, like most things, it becomes more costly to fix it.
Now, how does the airport, make money? Is it self-sustaining? No?
No.
What is the purpose of the airport? Why do we have an airport?
Well, we have an airport for several reasons. One of is for economic development. You know, I think more so a few years ago than currently, but I think that could change. A lot of these bigger industries fly people in. They mm-hmm. fly people in and out. They have airplanes at our airport. So I think it's a great economic development tool. You know, when we can go to some of these corporations and say, you don't have to fly into, you know, Atlanta or Charlotte, you know, if you have the right size plane, you can fly right here where your business is. So I think it's a great economic development tool.
Sure.
So I think for that reason alone, it would be worth having.
Okay. All right. And then I also wanted to talk a little bit about the hospitality tax that the county is talking about. Now,
sure.
The city has one,
too.
And a lot of the money for the city goes into Uptown Greenwood.
It does.
But on the county aspect of it, what would be the purpose of having a hospitality tax for the county? How would that be used?
Much in the same way that the city uses theirs. They use it kind of as an incubator for tourism and for tourism-related activities. You know, the city uses the money in the Uptown to encourage and incentivize and to promote Greenwood.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the county would use it much the same to promote the unincorporated areas.
Well, would you have an area, or would you use it for activities or festivals or this type of thing? What is your thought process?
Well, I think you could use it for several things, and I think there's probably multiple mindsets on this, but I think there's really probably two predominant ones. One is use it for a lot of small projects. You know, when 96 does their fireworks display, help fund that. When they do the fireworks at the lake, help fund that. When, you know, they need something in Troy, do something there. You know, using it a few thousand dollars at the time. And that's a legitimate school of thought. And then there's what probably could be called the Greenwood City model, where you take the money and you use it in one place and you make a big impact in one place. So I think...
Does the county have such a place?
I think we do. You know, and I think we probably have several of them. One of them would be the lake. You know, I think there's an opportunity there for us to do more than the lake is currently being used for.
But most of the lake is privately owned.
Yes.
So how does a hospitality tax work for the lake?
I think it could work a lot of ways. One way would be if we were promoting the lake and someone from outside of our area said, you know, that Lake Greenwood, I want to go see what it's all about. You know, right now, excluding the park, you can't get into the lake and use it. You know,
right.
It's all private property. You know, you could probably get in through a few of the boat ramps, but you know, if you and your family just wanted to go recreate at the beach, at the lake, it's difficult.
Right.
So I think one way you could use it is you could use it for kind of a beaching area, you know, a utilization of the lake as a lot of people would. You could use it for that. You could use it for the marketing for that. You could use it for the signage for that. Another way is, you know, to have more boat ramps and to have better boat ramps. So I think that's a way it could be spent. Could be used to help land bigger fishing tournaments than we currently have. So I think there's lots of ways you could use it. You know, one of the things we're doing now is a Lake Greenwood Master Plan. And the plan, by its nature, is going to identify some things that are opportunities for us to improve upon or to advance the lake. And obviously, that's going to have a financial component, and this may be an opportunity to deal with some of that.
Now, the areas where a hospitality tax would be used, I mean, I understand for the city, it's all up and down the bypass. I mean, where a lot of the eating places and whatnot are. Where in the county, what type of places are the county have for?
It's the exact same type of places. It's places that have prepared food. So it would be anywhere in the unincorporated areas of the counties that have prepared food. So if restaurant...
Would the dollars be as big, though? I mean, no. Just out of curiosity.
No.
Yeah.
The dollars aren't going to be anywhere nearly as big. I think Charlie's last number I heard him use was $1.5 million.
For the city.
For the city, right.
Correct.
We've had Department of Revenue do a very preliminary, and I want to stress very preliminary, estimate, and their estimate's about $380,000. For the county.
Mm-hmm.
So you're talking 1.5 versus 380. So you're talking about a pretty distinct difference. My staff today actually finally got the actual names of the businesses that make up the estimated 380. So my staff's going through and verifying that, you know, we're not getting credit for something in the city or in Ware Shoals or in 96 and it's skewing the numbers. So my folks are going through that right now. So assuming that it holds true, the estimate from DOR is about $380,000.
But the big thing about a hospitality tax is it does have to be used for tourism.
Yes. And there's stringent criteria. I mean, it clearly lays out in the law what it can be used for, but kind of as a rule of thumb, you know, short version, is tourism related. So you could use it for some things that are tangential to tourism. For example, if you had some tourist destination that needed a fire station, mm-hmm. Well, you could use a small portion of it to help fund that fire station, not because you're funding fire stations, but because that fire station is required for the tourist destination. So, but again, shorthand, it's got to be tourism related.
Sure. You know, really, when you look at the county, we have the lake, and that Greenwood Lake Connect has certainly tried to come on in a big way. I mean, they did a great job with the fireworks, and of course, they're having the poker boat run this weekend.
Yeah.
So they are doing things to help get more activities out there.
Yeah, I mean, there are some very smart people that live at the lake. You know, there are. And I think they see that the lake could be more than it is today and more than it has maybe historically been. And there are some citizens that are trying to get the lake to reach that potential. So I've met the people from Connect Lake Greenwood, great people, very energetic. So I think it's a good thing.
Now, while we're talking about the lake, we can't forget to talk about the Symetra Tour and the advantage of having the Symetra Tour here in Greenwood out at the links of Stony Point.
Yeah.
What has the bounce been from having the Symetra Tour here?
I think I heard maybe it was Charlie Barino or someone, some official, said they have a projection of about $2 million economic impact for the tournament. That's big.
That is big.
You know, $2 million. That's huge. So having it for 9 more years, you know, and having spent some time with Jim Medford, you know, the last shot hit, you know, the 18th green and went in the cup, I think he was already on the next one.
I think before that. Yeah, because I talked to him during the thing. Yeah. He was already planning next year.
So he is telling me that it's going to be bigger and better than this previous year. And I'll tell you, I was at several of the events, and they were pretty big and nice themselves. So it's going to be very interesting to see where it goes. But, you know, you and I talked during the tournament last year, or in May.
Right.
And, my position then was anytime we can be out, you know, on a regional or national level positively, you know, with something good, showing a lot of community involvement and engagement, only positive.
That's right. So as we wind this up here today, you've survived here this afternoon. My, how time flies when you're under the gun, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, that's right.
Exactly.
That's right. You think that hospitality tax is something that's probably going to happen?
I think we'll see. We've taken first reading last Tuesday.
And what was the general consensus?
It's title only. For the county, first reading, it's title only. There's no vote. There's no discussion.
Okay.
It's simply reading the title and letting people know that this is an issue before council. So October 7th will be the public hearing. The second reading, that'll be the actual first official vote. So we'll see.
Now, how many people are coming out to county council meetings? You know, I always mention them on my show in the morning. Have you seen any more activity of people coming out? Or
No.
That's sad.
I don't disagree.
Why do you think people don't take the time to come?
I don't know. You know, I think that's a very interesting political science question, because everyone knows the president. You know, everyone knows.
Well, I don't know about that.
I think more people than not.
Know,
you know, they know who the president are. They know who their senators are. You know, most know who their congressmen are, know who the governor. You know, and that's great, but they don't know who their local officials are. I don't fully appreciate what the local officials do.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. I think that's probably some of it. I don't know.
Well, it really is a shame, and I think it's a great thing to take young people to see how this works. And, of course, if we had probably more civics in school, that might create a little more interest as they grow up. Last thing I really want to bring up, and we're almost out of time, haha, he thought, is the collaboration that you have between the city and the county. Sure. And this is WCRS right here in Greenwood. Why is it that you think you're able to work the city and the county? There was a time in the past where that wasn't always so.
Yeah. Well, that's what I've heard. I can't speak to that.
Sure.
I can speak to, my opinion of why I think it is currently. And I think a lot of it's personality. I hope most of your listeners know who Charlie Barino is, and if they've spent 5 minutes with Charlie Barino, know that he's probably one of the nicest people you would ever meet. I don't know how it would be difficult. It would be difficult for me to imagine somebody who doesn't like Charlie Barino. So, spending time with him, he's easy to work with. And I'll tell you, even before I got here, once it was announced that I was getting this job, Charlie called me and said, look, I'm the city manager. I think we can do a lot of good work together. I want to have a good relationship. And I said, of course, Charlie, I do too. And I've gotten here and we've kept that up, and we keep it up through talking on the phone to each other and emails and going to lunch together and just, working together. Charlie and I both appreciate the fact that we're better together than we are, if we kind of set up this my sandbox, your sandbox kind of mentality. So I think part of why we're able to work together is just from starting with that mindset of we're going to do a lot better together than we are apart. And for the most part, in a lot of places, we serve the same citizens.
Sure.
So, so it's silly for us to say, we're going to provide the service where we're going to provide this simultaneous same service and we both incur the cost. Why? Let's work together, trying to work smarter.
And therefore, I would presume you would be able to save money.
Yeah.
Which is, of course, the bottom line of any government entity.
Which is what we're trying to do at every opportunity we can. So I think that's a big part of it. I would say it's just the mindset Charlie and I've started with, and I know I do, and I know he does as well. We try to push that down to our staffs. If someone from the finance office of the city calls the treasurer's office, I expect them to, start with the mindset of how can we work together on this. So I think it becomes kind of the norm, it kind of becomes the culture, and I think it's a positive.
Absolutely. Well, Toby Chappell, thank you for coming out this afternoon. You survived. You've survived.
Did I get a t-shirt or something? Yeah.
Yes, you got your little koozie there. There you go. Hey, I tell you what, this is WCRS right here in Greenwood. Bye-bye, everybody. Hey, I do want to tell you, tomorrow morning on my morning show, we start out 8:35 with Jim Bohannon. Then at 9:35, we're going to be talking to one of the guys that wrote the book, 13 Hours. Make sure you tune in. It's going to be a real interesting morning tomorrow morning on the I Love Ann Show. Bye-bye, everybody. So there you go.
Yeah, I saw that. That's the Benghazi.
Right.
Yeah, wow. I saw that on Fox, and I thought,